Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship, the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study as we near the end of James chapter 5 and the end of the epistle, covering verses 13 through 15 and the subject of divine healing. As you listen, if you wish to contact us, you can do so by email. Our address is bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send letters by U.S. Postal by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can donate by sending check or money orders to that address. Donations should all be made out to Bible Believers Fellowship. You can also contact us and donate by visiting bbfohio.com. Just scroll down to the bottom of the page and use the PayPal donation button. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, titled Divine Healing. This is part one of two.
Current events update.
Headline reviews in the news. Number one, abortion is just a pretty word for baby murder, was on trial today. The Supreme Court heard arguments in a case that, according to the abortion rights people, could overturn Roe v. Wade. I still haven't gotten a real explanation as to how that's possible. What it would do is give states the right to ban abortion. That wouldn't necessarily overturn Roe v. Wade, and then states like New York and California and others would still have abortion. So, but yeah, Mississippi's this. I'll get to that in a second. But the Constitution says that any powers not specifically given to the federal government remain to the states. Now, all of us are against abortion here. I think all of us are also against slavery. But this is the price you pay, because Abe Lincoln and the radical Republicans and abolitionists did the right thing the wrong way, trying to force the southern states through unconstitutional means to get rid of slavery. And I go a long explanation on that. Many historians and others who know about the issue can explain that just like England, slavery was dying in this country. We didn't need a civil war. But when you have a federal government telling states they will do what they want, the federal government wants them to do, when the Constitution did not give them the power to do it, then you get war. And so that's what happened in what's called the Civil War. Well, that same precedent has been used to now fast forward, and they're using federal overreach to where the federal government makes states do things the states don't want to do. We've talked about this before, but one of the ways they do it is by giving states money. Then when the states get hooked like a crack addict, then the state decides they don't want to do something the feds want them to do, then they say, okay, but we're taking our billions of dollars back. And this has been going on for decades. The federal government has usurped taxation powers that belong to the state, usurped tax revenue that belongs to the states, then redistributed it to the states so they could control the states. Then you also have the Civil Rights Act. The Civil Rights Act was the right thing the wrong way. And again, the federal government telling the states they're going to do what the states, they didn't have the power to tell them to do. They used the power of intimidation and force and money to get the thing passed. And it was really just a way to take more power from the states. And now this very same arguments used for the Civil Rights Act is being used for the gay rights. The very same way they were able to shut down whites-only restaurants and make other organizations accept non-whites and so forth. Again, the right thing, the wrong way. And now they're doing it with the whole gay thing. They're using the exact same arguments. And so here we are, fast forward to this Roe v. Wade thing, where the federal government and the Supreme Court found a so-called right to abortion in the 14th Amendment, and it's not there. Anybody reads it knows it's not there. It's a big scam. But the federal government makes money off of killing babies. And politicians make money through Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood is a big money-making scheme. And so that's why it's going on. Satan's crowd always avoids the issue of baby murder. They always talk about something else. They want to talk about women's rights, a right to your body. Women, you have a right to your body. You don't have a right to kill a body in your body. The baby is a separate body. And you have every right to your body, but not to kill that body inside your body. You had the choice not to have sex. And you say, what about rape and incest and all that? Listen, murder on top of sexual crimes doesn't help. Adding murder on top of rape, and you know, here's what makes me sick. I know some people who were brought into this world through the terrible act of rape. And so they have to listen to all the stupid people in this country say rape babies should be murdered. They are a rape baby. You think they should have been murdered? Some of the nicest people I've ever met. You don't compound a sin on top of sin. And that baby of rape, if the mother doesn't want the baby, there are millions of people who want a baby. We know people who cannot adopt. They've wanted to for years. And on it goes. So Pelosi left this statement on her website about the Supreme Court oral arguments in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. Dobbs Jackson Women's Health is a Planned Parenthood baby killing machine down in Mississippi. And it says Mississippi's radical abortion ban, that's how Nancy Pelosi describes it, part of a nationwide assault against women's freedoms, targeting in particular women of color, they always got to make it about race, and women from low-income communities, is brazenly unconstitutional. She's a liar. Abortion is unconstitutional. Killing babies is unconstitutional. And designed to destroy Roe v. Wade. Yet again, Republicans, somehow she's just blaming Republicans for this. Republicans are trying to control a woman's most personal decisions about her body. No, we're not. We're only concerned with the baby. And the baby isn't her body. Nancy Pelosi is a liar. And that's how liars talk. They won't admit, they know it's true. They just won't confess what they know to be true. That it's a baby that we're talking about, not the body carrying the baby. And her family and are trying to criminalize healthcare professionals. An abortionist is a murderer. He's not a healthcare professional. The Hippocratic Oath, which has been thrown out by the Darwinians who control our medical system today, the Hippocratic Oath says you will do no harm.
Amen.
And it says right in the oath, you will not assist in abortions or provide abortive substances. In the oath. Trying to criminalize healthcare professionals for providing reproductive care. No, we are all for reproductive care. We just don't want you killing babies. That's what it is. It's newspeak. You have to listen to what they say. When a liberal talks, you know they're lying. And so you have to listen to the words they use and then define those terms. Well, that's what I mean. You have to listen to what they're saying and understand that when they use a word, they don't mean what you mean. Like, I am a right-wing conspiratorial terrorist, according to the liberals. Right-wing simply means I believe in the Constitution. Conspiratist or conspiracy buff or whatever they want to call me just means I believe the facts. And I'm not afraid to say something's happening because I'm intimidated from saying it's happening. And a terrorist is a patriot. You know, you do some digging, you'll find a lot of these liberals will tell you the founding fathers were terrorists. You can go to college campuses where these left-wingers are up there telling their students that the founding fathers were terrorists. We have it on video. They were training the FBI and telling them that our founding fathers were terrorists. So when you hear a liberal say you're a terrorist, say thank you. Because when you say that, it means patriot. And I am a patriot because Romans 13 says, God established this country I live in, and I stand up for what God's done. Amen. Not government people, leaders, but the government being our constitution, the law that God established in this country. They appeal to politics while saying politics should not motivate the decisions. This is how they play the game. They are motivated by politics, but they're appealing to what they call a 6-3 conservative majority in the Supreme Court. I don't think it's really 6-3. A couple of those, at least, are very moderate. They're not conservative. But they're appealing to them, basically saying, you know, you shouldn't do this just because you're politically, you know, conservative. And here's an example of what I'm talking about. This was from Fox website. Roe v. Wade at stake. Liberal justice slams political stench of efforts to overturn Roe during oral arguments. All right, easy for me to say. Yeah. Sotomayor slams political stench. That's who it is. She's a left-wing Marxist appointed by a left-wing Marxist named Obama. Sotomayor. She said Wednesday in oral arguments over a Mississippi abortion law that she's concerned about a political stench that may linger. I'm going to tell you about a political stench that's lingered since 1973. When Roe v. Wade was passed, it was a political stench of a bunch of devil-possessed Supreme Court justices. And they left a stench that is raising up to the nostrils of God. And according to the Bible, the blood of those babies is crying out, and God is going to have a day called payday. And after the rapture, I believe, is when those seals, vials, and trumpets, that's what that's about. It's about Israel. It's a payback for all the Jews that have been killed over the years. It's a payback for the innocent babies being killed. It's a payback for all the Sodom and Gomorrah that's going on around the world and in this country. Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution it's reading are just political acts? What a hypocrite. That's what liberals do with the Constitution. They don't believe in actually interpreting it as intended. They call it original intent. They are what they come up with this thing called a living, breathing document. What's that mean? It means they're full of hot air. And they'll just make it say whatever they want it to say, like Satan. Go read Luke 4, back in Matthew 4, Genesis 3. Satan will take the language and twist it and make it say and mean whatever he wants it to say. And that's how liberals function. Liberals function like Lucifer. I don't see how it's possible. I think that the concern about appearing, or this is the Mississippi solicitor responding. I think the concern about appearing political makes it absolutely imperative that the court reach a decision well grounded in the Constitution. Amen. Fix the political act of 1973 by going back to the Constitution. And now you know why the wicked leftist liberals hate Donald Trump and everybody who stands with him. Trump's Supreme Court picks Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh could decide the fate of Roe v. Wade. The reason they hate Donald Trump in such an insane manner with Trump derangement syndrome is because they love death. And they are afraid that Donald Trump was going to put Supreme Court justices on that were going to overturn their ability to butcher babies. And the money. Love of money is what's behind it. So that's it. We won't know the result of these hearings, of this oral arguments, for weeks, so just pray. Pray that the Lord will work in the hearts of those who are moderate and they'll join with the conservatives. Number two, Biden's tyrannical mandates continue to be shot down, praise the Lord. Louisiana judge blocked Biden's vaccine mandate for U.S. healthcare workers. We have at least one here tonight that is say praise the Lord. I know that. Yeah. Judge Terry A. Doughty in the U.S. District Court, Western District of Louisiana, ruled in favor of a lawsuit helmed by Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, Attorney General Jeff Landry, who is a Republican, attorneys general from 13 other states joined Louisiana in the lawsuit, and they don't mention it here, but they were all Republicans. Yeah. No Democrats? Because the Democrat Party is satanic. The Republican Party is far from perfect. The Republican Party does have a pro-life plank, but they have a lot of rhinos and neocons, and so they're not perfect. But at least in their platform, they don't call for the killing of unborn children. In the ruling, Doughty argued that the Biden administration lacks the constitutional authority to bypass Congress to issue the vaccine mandate. In other words, we don't elect a dictator. The president is not a dictator. He does not legislate. Executive orders are not laws. They are just for the executive branch of government. But they've basically lied to people and made them believe that the executive orders go further than they do. And people aren't taught in school anymore anything about the Constitution. They're not taught civics, and most of us were back when I was even. They tried to teach us, and we didn't pay attention. So you got a double whammy.
They don't even try to teach history anymore.
If the executive branch is allowed to usurp the power of the legislative branch to make laws, two of the three powers conferred by our Constitution would be in the same hands. We have a three-tier government, executive, legislative, and judicial. And if the executive can legislate, then they have taken over the legislative branch. And so you only have two branches of government then, and the executive would control two-thirds of our government. And I'll say this again because it has to be repeated. The founding fathers designed gridlock into our system. When you hear all these libtards out there whining and complaining that things take too long, it's gridlock, gridlock. Say, praise the Lord, I love gridlock. Amen. I'm going to name my next puppy gridlock.
Gridlock is your friend.
As a tribute, if human nature and history teach anything, it is that civil liberties face grave risks when governments proclaim indefinite states of emergency. And what's scary is how so many people just went along with it. During a pandemic such as this one that we're going through, it's a plandemic, it is even more important to safeguard the separation of powers as set forth in our Constitution to avoid erosion of our liberties, he continued. So all that to say this is that God continues to give us reprieve, even with this senile reprobate we have as a president. And the reprobates in control of Congress and all the, you know, crazy lunatics that are just out there, you know, doing what they're doing, and God just keeps finding ways. And so we should be, that's why I say Thanksgiving, not just one day a year, man. Every day we have things to be thankful for.
Just kidding.
James 5, 13 through 15, we're going to finish the chapter James and then a couple more studies. The beginning of verse 13, James is closing his epistle with thoughts on healing, prayer, and restoration. And we're going to cover three verses tonight. Let's read the odd verses with me. Start with verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Amen? There is a biblical doctrine of divine healing. We want everybody to be clear that on the one hand, we have nothing to do with faith healing. We have nothing to do with the TV preacher version of healing. We do not believe you need any man in particular, any faith healer to come and lay hands on you. We do not believe that money needs to be involved. We don't believe you have to send the preacher a seed faith offering in order for God to heal you. But we do believe in healing. And we have had prayers over people through the years on a number of occasions. I think one of the last couple of people was Martha and Brother John Allball when he was in the hospital and went through a scary ordeal. How long that been ago? About, was that before COVID?
No, I think that was during COVID. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you couldn't go visit him.
They were being
jerks about it. Shot.
Yeah.
Is BC going to have a new meeting now?
What's that?
Is BC going to have a new meeting now?
Before COVID?
Back when life was normal.
Branch COVIDians, yeah. So verse 13 is basically saying, be real. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. I'd love to hear Mary sing. Sing us something, Mary. is any merry? Let him, well, it says him, but let him sing psalms. Of course, we're told that in Ephesians, making merry in your heart, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And you don't have to sing out loud if you're in a place where you shouldn't be singing out loud, or if you just don't like for people to hear you. You know, you can sing in your heart. Making merry in your heart, it says. Sing in your heart. And question is, how do you feel? There have been a couple of times here where people are down the dumps, you know, and they don't sing out like they ought to. And I've seen it. I've noticed it. I don't get on to them. And have you been to churches where the song leader does that and you're like, let's see a smile on your face tonight and everybody sing it. You know, and they're, not everybody's going to feel that way every time you come to church. And I've never promoted or taught people they should be deceptive either. You know, if you don't feel good, tell us. I mean, don't just sit there and mope, but you can tell us and we'll pray for you. And the answer is respond accordingly. You know, don't be afraid to enjoy your joy. So if you're Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, then sing. Sing in your heart. And then I like those guys. They used to work a couple guys. They just belt it out. And this one fella, he couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And he would sing in the warehouse. And he'd just walking around. And his, you know, this old hymns. Oh, you walk in the blood. In his whole clean blood of the Lamb. He like, yeah, he ain't on tune, but it's still beautiful. I love to hear him coming through the area. He just sing it out. And note, no one is told to fake happiness and pretend they are not afflicted. Now, this does not promote belly aching. This does not promote an old me attitude where everything's about you and you're always depressed. You're always down. It could be anything sets you off. I mean, you gotta stop that, because that makes the world think that Christianity is a disease and they're not going to want it when you offer it. Amen? I mean, we have joy in the Lord. And so, you know, some of us have gone through some things, and there's times where you go through that and it's hard to even smile. It's just, you feel so, but you still have joy in the Lord. How many of you understand that? You ever been in a situation where you just couldn't hardly get yourself to smile, but you still had a joy of the Lord in you, and it helps carry you through that thing? But that doesn't mean it always shows up here. And how many, I worked in this one area that there's this one lady. And when she was down and not feeling good, it was okay. But if anybody else in the area was down or whatever, she'd get in your face and start saying, come on now, you need to smile. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So come on, let's see the smile. I'm not leaving until you see the smile. Yeah, exactly. If it wasn't for the fact that it's, you know, might cost me my job, I didn't threaten her, but I did. It's like, listen, there's a time for everything, and according to the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time to smile, but there's times where you don't want to smile. And what I always tell everybody is you need to develop the ability to just tell people that, and then they should respect that. Yeah. But don't be expecting everybody to read your mind. Right. But in Doug's case, when you get an understanding with people, that's fine. But if you can tell someone just not clued in to what's going on, you just stop and say, listen, I just need for you to kind of give me some space today. I just don't feel up to you know, goofing off, messing around, or whatever. It's just personal, or you can tell them what's wrong, whichever you choose to do. But we're not told to just walk around acting like we're happy all the time when we're not, you know. And it, that becomes dangerous. I've known a couple of guys who'd walk around like that all the time, and when they went home, they treated their wife and kids like dirt. But when they were out in front of everybody, they'd just smiling all the time and hugging on their wife and give her a little peck on the cheek and come on, kids, you know, and acting like that. And then he goes home and he's abusive. So that's what happens. You don't want to become a fake and putting on a show. I love this quote from J. Vernon McGee. He says, sometimes a song leader will get up in service and say, now everybody sit up and smile. I used to have a song leader like that in a church I pastored years ago. I told him, don't you know that in this congregation there are people who are really burdened? As I looked out there, I see one man who is a doctor.